Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to all of you and happy Sabbath. Glad to see you here. A little bit small today, but we're all happy smiling and fellowshipping. That is good. Welcome to those of you on the phone hookup. We are going to try a brand new experiment today, so please let us know how you like it. We are going to be bringing. So let us know if you like it, don't like it, bigger, smaller. For the webcast, we're not ready to go there quite yet, but we're getting there. All right. Have you ever been really hungry? So hungry, in fact, that eating everything in the fridge is not a problem. You're on the way home, and you say, man, I could go for a burger right now. And as you pull into the drive-thru of the fast food place, you realize, you know, today's the fourth day of unleavened bread. Oops. We've all been there, right? Or perhaps you have a really delicious meal. It's like, man, that was the best steak I've ever had. But can't eat anymore. Or the kids go, you parents, the kids, you know this. I'm full. I don't want any more. There's ice cream for dessert. I want some. I want some. I want some. Because no matter how much food there is, there's always room for ice cream, right? Of course. But how long does that food last? Maybe 14? Well, you always have to eat again. Think about food storage in the 1800s. There were no refrigerators. There were streams, ice boxes, cool rooms. Food would spoil much more easily than it does today. Freezer? Unless you lived in Alaska or northern Minnesota, you might have a freezer. Christ expounded on this concept of food a bit, but he put it in a completely different dimension. And that dimension was so revolutionary, it confused almost everyone. Let's look today at this contrast and see what Christ had to say about food. So let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 26. John chapter 6 and verse 26. This is following a miracle. You know, I can almost read that without looking down. I kind of like. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, which probably didn't mean a whole lot to you, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Interesting, slight variations in text between. Are you on NKJV? Okay, just checking. Because there were variations in the text, and that doesn't look right. Anyway, Jesus Christ says, continuing in verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus Christ is saying here in this verse, do not labor for food that doesn't last. Food spoils. Food is put into the body and goes away after it achieves its purpose. You know, they say you can only go about 3 days without eating. Or, sorry, 3 days without drinking water. After 3 days of no water, you're toast. Can't imagine how Christ and Moses did it for 40 days. Anybody want to try fasting for 40 days? No, thanks. I don't think I'd make it past three. I think I'm done. Body's just not set up to handle that. But notice it says, the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Why? Because God the Father has set his seal on him. Now, let's jump to verse 32. Verse 32 to 33. Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's pretty simple to understand. We know that. We've been reading it for a long time. And there's all kinds of scriptures we could tie, and you could give a whole sermon on this one verse if you wanted to. Not my purpose today. The Father gives us the true bread from heaven. So if you reject God, you therefore reject the true food. And if you reject the true food, would you say that you're starving? Could we say in the world today that people are starving? I think all of us would say yes, most definitely. The world is definitely starving. And the funny thing is, the world doesn't even know it's starving, which is the sad part. They don't even know they're starving. Why? Because they're going after the wrong kind of food. Pleasure, sustenance. But even those are temporary, and they have nasty side effects. Now, let's jump to verse 51. Challenge our scripture tweakers. Verse 51. Jesus Christ continues, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now in the next verse we see people have problems with this. How will this man give his flesh to eat? They quarreled among themselves. See, Jesus Christ teaches cannibalism, right? No, we know that's wrong. But how many weird and crazy ideas have come from this one verse? It's amazing. We got transubstantiation, grape juice, not grape juice, blood, communion, Eucharist, whatever. Just crazy ideas. So the next spiritually logical question to ask is, how can we partake of this food that God gives us? Let's go to verse 63 and 64. Well-known memory verses. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. These words recorded for us that God gave to us, this is life. This is spiritual food. How do we partake of it? Lots of different ways. Fast, study, pray, meditation. Heard a sermon about that 2 weeks ago. Reading, pondering, digesting. Now there's a foreign concept when it comes to studying the Word of God. How do you digest the Word of God? You internalize it. We make it part of us. We live it. We grow. But you can read. You can fast. You can pray. You can meditate. You can even do miracles. And it won't get us into the kingdom. Even the Pharisees prayed. Think about that. Even the Pharisees prayed. But God had a few things to say about the way they went about doing it. The difference is, we do something that even physical food does. And that is, we let it change us internally. You might say this is where the leaven leaves the dough. The leaven leaves the dough. Physical food can make you healthier. That's why your parents feed you vegetables, right? It can also make you very sick. Depends on which kind of food you take in. In terms of internalizing spiritual food, think about this question. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to be a light? Where you actually stood up for God's way of life or expounded a point to someone? Were we a light? Were we a light? And have you ever thought, man, I wish I would have done this differently? Or you go back and you rethink about the situation over and over and you meditate on it. And you think, how could I have done this better? How could I have been an example? Or was I a disgrace? What should I have done? And we think about it, which is good, because it helps us to grow, which is what God wants us to do. God wants us to take His spiritual food, to internalize it, and to make us spiritually well. That's what kind of spiritual food we want to have is. This is the kind of food that endures to eternal life. God wants us to have a sound mind, a caring mind, and a loving godly heart. So we might ask, how is our spiritual health? Are we just okay? Are we hanging on till the kingdom? Because that's what God wants us to do, right? Hang on till the kingdom. That's all we have to do. It's not exactly what God had in mind. God wants us to produce fruit so that we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Think back to the time when you were first called and what your understanding of Scripture was back then versus what it is now after 20, 30, 40 years of living God's way. You can take care of yourself. You're a big boy. We think about nourishment of food. There's good food and there's bad food. For example, one of my favorite foods is donuts. And I saw a really funny post this week. It said, donuts are really big Cheerios. Ah! Not exactly. But you think about it, what is a donut? Nothing but sugary coated dough, next to no nutritional value, and really not good for you. But man, are they good. And I don't know why it is, but people at work seem to bring around donuts when the days of unless happens. Physical nutrition, physical food, temporary result. If you eat too many donuts, you'll probably get sick. Spiritual food. These are words of life that we don't just partake of, we do something with them. How do the words of life help us to become deeper, God-fearing Christians? Hopefully so. Feast of Tabernacles. Do we have a godly flavor? Do we have a godly flavor? You know, there's certain foods, and it varies by person. Like, some people love avocados. I can't stand them. The texture is just wrong. But people, oh, I love them. Or I like this, or I like that. It's all different. What taste, what flavor does the food have? There are many scriptures talk about being seasoned with salt. That's producing fruit, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And, of course, as we know from John 15, if we're not producing fruit, what's the end result? Pruned and burned. Not exactly the most pleasant concept in Scripture. What we do with the spiritual food we partake of, that's the big question. They say to be or not to be, that is a question? No. The big question is, what do we do with the spiritual food that we partake of? And hopefully, we produce fruit that leads to eternal life. So what have we seen briefly today? Physical food impacts the body, for good or for bad. Spiritual food should impact the mind and the heart and change us internally. We might say that spiritual food, deep down, produces agape love. Physical food can and does go bad. Spiritual food, if it endures, leads to eternal life, which never fails. Hence its God-given name. So let us strive even more to partake of this food that God has given us as He leads us to change, to repent, and to grow to spiritual maturity, to those who are of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.